And your words have power. And when you say something out of your mouth and it's in line with the word of God, that thing begins to bless you and bless those in whom you are addressing your declaration to. 16th verse of Isaiah 65, and then I'm going to get into the word because we got something we need to cover as we continue to father ourselves in this teaching of learning how to live in God's favor. Verse number 16, I'm going to read it in two versions. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, Isaiah 65:16 says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. See, look at somebody and say, you can bless yourself. Come on, come on, come on. See, you can be in your car just blessing yourself. You can be in your kitchen, women, just blessing yourself. Men, you can be in your yards just blessing yourself. Just speaking over yourself what you want God to do for you. Look at somebody and say, in this favorable season, I'm going to speak over my life what I need God to do for me. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to speak it over my life. That I need God to do, I ain't got to beg. I don't have to plead. Yeah, all I have to do is speak it. I can't go to the Amplified because my internet service just went out. Who got an Amplified Bible? Come here, minister. Hallelujah. You got one? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Thank you, sir. This Bible will never be the same. This Bible here will never be the same right here. No, man, this Bible here going to start calling your name. Shaya Rekeshito Robo Satan. Yeah. How many believe that? You can tap into the anointing, and the anointing will carry you places. Hallelujah. Minister Wilson, you just tapped in. You just had a bump. You bumped into me. You know they got them phones, you can bump them. And all your information will transfer over. You just bumped into a deeper level of anointing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse number 16, it says, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Let me do the Amplified. It says, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself or herself in the land, here it is, shall do so by saying, I don't know if you caught that one now, shall do, look at somebody and say, I'm doing it in this season, by saying. Yeah. Yeah. When I start feeling bad, I'm going to say, bad, stop feeling that way. And start feeling good. When I seem like I got a headache, I'm going to say, headache, stop hurting. And start being better. Look at somebody and say, speak a blessing over your own life by saying. Now come on, give God a praise if you believe it. Here you go, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Amen. You better have some backup because this man-made stuff. You better have some word in your heart. You better not get too codependent on this stuff. Look at somebody and say, keep your Bible, please. Please keep your one in the closet somewhere. Yeah, keep your one near. Get your New Testament Bible. You can put that in your pocket. Amen. Yeah. We're in a series of messages themed learning how to live in God's favor. Learning how to live in God's favor, which his favor is when God allows somebody else's power, somebody else's influence, somebody else's resources be released in your life that you can be blessed, that you can prosper and excel in everything that you do. Look at somebody and tell them, say, this is the season to prosper and excel in everything that I do. Now say this, I will not be left behind. You remember George Bush put out a legislation in our educational system during his tenure as president, no child left behind. Look at somebody and say, we decree this in the house of God. No child of God shall be left behind in this season. None of us. I told you all before, and I tell you again, when you get in your promised land, I'm going to be dancing with you. I ain't going to be hanging back. I ain't going to be like Moses now. Moses died before he got in the promise. I'm going to be living while y'all in y'all promise. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about favor and discussing the different definitions of favor and how favor applies to the life of the believer and how favor takes the struggle and the stress out of living. It takes the struggle and the stress out of living. I believe in this season, if you would embrace it now, if you would receive it and accept it, I believe you can live your life without stress and without struggle. I had this thing proved to me just this week, you know, something was tempting me to be stressful. And I told it, I won't be stressful over you because I'm in a season of favor. Now, if you would have caught me last year, you know, I would have stressed out. Yeah, I'd have stressed out. I would have lost a day worrying about something I couldn't control. But I told that thing this week, you cannot stress me out. And guess what? When I talk to it like that, peace like a river began to fill my soul. Yeah, because I put stress in its place. Look at somebody and say, in this favorable season, you have to learn how to put stress in its place. Yeah, you have to learn. Because see, stress will try to cause you to lose a moment in God. When you can be worshiping God, you worrying about your stuff. And God is telling you, in favor, you can worship me and I take care of your stuff. Because this battle is not yours anyway. You're fighting a battle that God didn't tell you to fight. God say the battle is me. It's mine. It's the Lord's. It's not yours. Look at somebody and say, this battle is not yours. So in this favorable season, God is teaching us how to apply favor to our lives and what favor means to us. What it means to us, you know, and how favor, and I explained to you in the Hebrew, that word is hanan, and it actually means divine protection and continuation. Somebody say divine protection and continuation. Yeah, divine protection and continuation. So what God does, he divinely protect you with his favor. And he continued the blessing flowing in your life, and not just in your life, but that blessing continued to flow from one generation to another. That means if you was to leave this earth today, you'll leave a legacy of favor. God help me in here. That means the doors that God opened for you, he'll open for your children. See, I told my oldest daughter, she's in here right now, Shanada, I told her, I said, you have access to everything that I have, not just material stuff, but you have access to my anointing. Yeah, you have access to my influence. See, in Proverbs, it tells us to introduce our sons to our favorite or our best friends. And make sure your son have the same friends you have. That's why everybody that I know that I'm close to, normally I'm going to introduce my children to them one time or another. Because if something ever happened to me, it will not stop my influence. Look at somebody and say, if something ever happened to me, it will not stop my influence. Yeah, because your influence is the flavor of God. That's why I say flavor. It's the flavor of God. It's that flavor about you. If somebody ever tastes you for one at one time or another, they'll never forget you. You ever taste something good, a pecan pie or a red velvet cake? Y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. Potato pie, those are my favorites. Now, I'm just calling out my favorite stuff. And, you know, some folk, you know, is good at it. I'm not gonna let the cat out the bag about certain folk that do things, you know, because I don't want everybody ruining my opportunity. But well, every time I taste that particular, you know, dessert or whatever, I think about the person. It put that person on my mind. Why? The flavor reminds me of them. That's how your favor is with people. It's a flavor on your life that reminds people of who you are. So as we've talked about this favor thing, and we're going to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the message one more time, and then we're going to go on in and get some principles, and then we're going home. Amen? Amen. Amen. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the message now. Now, this is good. I hope you know that you can get it on your iPad or your phone or whatever. That's the purpose of having phones in the house of God, is for us to, you know, utilize, you know, for biblical purposes only. Not to text our friends and our girlfriends. Praise the Lord, somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you text them, tell them you need to be in church. Say, honey, boo, you should be in church. Yeah. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Message Bible, it said, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? I like to ask that question. Are you tired yet? You know, there was a movie with one of the rappers in, I can't think of his name right now. Are we there yet? Yeah. Ice Cube, yeah, are we there? Jesus want to know, are you tired yet? Are you worn out yet? Burnt out on religion? Are you worn out, tired, or trying to do things your way? That's the question that Jesus is asking us in this particular text here. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on the way you do church? Are you ready for him to do something fresh in your life? He said, come to me, get away with me, get with me, be intimate with me, get in my presence. Yeah, spend time with me. See, if you spend time with God, God will take care of the stuff you can't take care of. See, sometimes we're missing our blessing because we don't go into the presence of God like we should every day. See, the presence of God shouldn't be something you just choose to do on Sunday. The presence of God should be something you practice every day of the week. Yeah, you can be in your car and get in his presence. See, sometimes you have to make your car out of a worship center. See, and sometimes you have to turn off Tom Jarner. You got to turn them off. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me. I know it's good syndication, but you got to turn that stuff off so you can get in the presence of God. Now, if you want some, you know, if you want to enjoy yourself with some information, get in his presence first and then enjoy yourself with some information. But don't enjoy yourself with information, then try to get in God's presence. It's like trying to sing Teddy Pendergrass songs to give praise to God. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me in here. You cannot do it. So here Jesus say, get away with me. He said, get away with me. He said, and you will recover your life. See, God is saying you need to recover the real you. Yeah, yeah, you've been perpetrating a fraud. Yeah, 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 your identity is missing because you haven't been in God's presence. Now, look what he says here now. He says, and I'll show you how to take a real rest. He said, if you get with me, if you develop a relationship and a fellowship with me, he said, I'll show you how to live in peace. He said, walk with me. Mm-hmm. Fellowship with me. He said, and I will work with you. Notice what the Lord say. If you walk with me, that word walk means to progressively live or to fellowship. He said, if you do that with me, he said, I'll work with you. See, the reason why we can't get God to cooperate with the things we desire because we're not walking with him. See, the Bible say the ways of a transgressor is hard. He told Paul, he said, why are you kicking against the prick? He said, the more you trying to fight my will, you hurting yourself. Look at somebody and say, you can't fight God. Your arm's too short. Yeah, short. Tell him short. Don't say short. Say short. Yeah, short. Yeah. Shout, shout it. He said, walk with me and work with me. He said, watch how I do it. He said, watch how I do it. Put your eyes on how I'm doing life and your life will be better. Look what he said. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Get in sync with God. Stop being out of sync. Stop being out of place. Stop being where God don't want you to be, expecting him to bless you. Okay, come on, Pastor God. I got to hurry up. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you.
I'm not going to put nothing heavy on you. I'm not going to put anything on you that you're not capable of handling. Because grace will never give you a responsibility that you can't carry out. Because if grace give you the responsibility, grace going to give you the strength to fulfill the assignment. He said, keep company with me and you'll learn to live, here it is, freely and lightly. Take my yoke upon you. That's what it's saying in the King James. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my what? Burden is light. God say, if you walk in my unforced rhythm of grace, he say, you'll live your life freely and lightly. You won't be carrying on these unnecessary burdens. Sometimes you take on people burdens that you can't even handle. Take on people's responsibility that you don't have the grace to bear. Yeah, you should let them walk through that time, that process, that transition, so that they can discover God's grace for themselves. You robbing them of an opportunity, because it's not until they get weak that God's strength is made perfect. So you robbing them of a grace opportunity because you keep coming to the rescue. So we have to understand that God has given us this favor, but he has given us this favor to make our lives easy and not hard. Look at somebody and say, God has given us favor to make our lives easy and not hard. Now that we see favor from God in its proper perspective, being that it's his way of connecting us to all that he is. God's favor is his way of connecting you and I to all that he is. That's how he get us to the place where we can begin to function out of what we talked about last year, his bigger. And stop functioning out of our small ways of thinking. Our small ways of doing things. What God is saying, he's saying he's calling you up to a higher place. A place where you can see who he is and what he's wanting to do for you. Look at somebody and say, God is calling me to a higher place that I can see who he is and what he's doing for me. Yeah. He wants us to see all that he is and all that he can do. He don't want you and I to continue to be limited. See, you're bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. The Bible say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the bigger one on the inside. You just got to put more focus on the inside than you are on the outside. See, you're making your problem big when you need to start making your God bigger. Look at somebody and say, stop making your problem big and make your God big. That's what the Bible meant when it said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. See, magnify means to make something big that normally looks small in the eyes of others. And what God is saying, when you praise me, when you honor me, when you open up my mouth, up your mouth and make a declaration about me, you are making me bigger than what you're going through. Look at somebody and say, make him bigger. Come on, say it again, make him bigger. Favor is not just God liking us or him leaning toward us to bless us. No, it's bigger than that. Even that view of his favor limits him. God's favor is bigger than him just liking or leaning toward you to bless you. Listen to this. It's all of who he is. Favor is all of who God is. What favor says is God has decided that he's going to give you every part of him. He's not going to hold anything back. Look at somebody and say, God is not holding anything back from me about him in this season. It is all of who he is, distributing to us everything needed, listen to this, to live supernaturally in this natural world. It's all of who he is to us, and then distributing to us everything we need to live supernaturally in this natural world. Now, that's where the people of God got to cross over that bridge. Because, see, what we are so focused on don't get us to the places that God wants us to be. See, we're focused on continuing to be normal. And God is saying, if you're going to be used by me, you have to be abnormal. We focusing on the natural, and God saying, I want you to stop focusing on the supernatural. See, that's where your prayer life come in at. Because if you're going to operate in the supernatural, you're going to have a prayer life to know what God is doing in the supernatural. Because if you don't know what God is doing in the supernatural, you'll continue to be natural and live defeated on the earth. Look at somebody, tell them, say, it's time for us to start operating in the supernatural. That means doing things above the natural. That means taking superiority over your natural problems, over your natural situation, over your natural circumstances. The reason that problem came in your life, God is using it to see whether or not you're going to lose the supernatural. You thinking the problem going to leave, and God say, I'm putting a demand on your spiritual ability to work yourself out of something that seems impossible. And you asking folk to pray for you so you can get out of it. And God say, I don't want you out the storm. I want you to start speaking to the storm. I don't want you out your problem. I want you to start opening up your mouth and start setting your life in order. God say, it's the supernatural that I'm after. See, and when you start getting to that place where you operate in the supernatural, then you're no longer intimidated by your enemy, but your enemy is now intimidated by you. Why? Because now you are operating in the supernatural. That means now God's super is on your natural. Now you become an extraordinary being in the earth. Now you really can fulfill the church scripture, our ministry scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It said, if any man or woman be in Christ. Now it's talking about the power and the anointing of God. Because Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. And the anointing is what God uses to destroy the yoke and remove the burden. And he removes burdens and destroys yoke in the supernatural realm. That mean what God does, he does it in the spirit before it manifests in the natural. See, he does it in the spirit. That's why you have to be sensitive. That's why you can't be afraid to fast. That's why you can't be afraid to consecrate yourself. See, you don't wait for the church to cause a called a consecration. You consecrate yourself. You say to God, I'm not going to eat for today. I'm going to stay in your presence today. See, I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to be in your presence. Now, I'm not going to stay home because I got to pay bills. See, some folks, you know, say, when I say that, they're like, you want me to stay? No, you can't stay home now. You just got to know how to work God's presence into your day. Yeah, you got to know how to work it. So here we understand that God has given us everything that we need to live a supernatural life in this natural world. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 2 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 and 4. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Is this helping you? It says, grace or favor and peace be multiplied to you. Here it is, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now notice what he said. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. In the knowledge. Grace can only increase in your life as you receive knowledge of who God is. See, you are increasing your grace right now. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And faith is what turns on grace. God help me. Look at somebody and say, faith turns on grace. But in order for you to get faith, you're going to have to hear the word. In order for you to develop your faith, you're going to have to hear the word. If you don't develop your faith, you won't increase your favor. Look at somebody and say, if you don't develop your faith, you will not increase your favor. And you know what favor is? Somebody else's power, somebody else's influence, somebody else's resources being a blessing to you. See, you have to increase your faith in order for your favor to increase. And you have to be a student of the word of God. Look at someone and say, you have to be a student of the word of God. Look what he says here now. He said, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he went on here. He said, and his divine power. His divine power. His supernatural power. His divine power. His supernatural power has given to us all things. Here it is. That pertain to life and godliness. See, you are not empty of anything when you are in Christ. You have everything you need. You just have to learn how to tap into it. Look at somebody and say, I'm not empty of anything in Christ. I have everything I need to live this supernatural life. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We talked about this last year about excellence. God has called us to excellence. See, you're supposed to be doing things on a level that distinguish you from other people. You may be in the same office, but you distinguish. That's what Jesus meant when he said you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You may work with them, but you're different from them. You operate on a level that not only people notice you, but God does. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm operating on a different level now. Tell them, say, it's an excellent level. Yeah, tell them, say, mediocrity will not be accepted. Yeah, yeah. Why? Because grace is carrying me to a place that I appreciate God more. Look at somebody and say, grace is carrying me to a place that I appreciate God more. He said, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. God has given us some exceeding and great and precious promises from his word. Look at somebody and say, we have some favor guarantees. Yeah, you have some favor guarantee. When God give you a promise, you don't have to think whether or not he's going to do it. You just wait for him to do it. Because if God say it, it has to come to pass. Look at somebody and say, if God say it, it got to come to pass. Yeah, that through these you may, here it is, be partakers of divine nature. Through this grace, through the knowledge of God, now you are partakers of who you really are. His divine nature. Yeah, the innate part of you. The real you. The part of you that is God. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me in here. See, in God, there is no such thing as first class, second class, and third class. There's no such thing as upper class, middle class, and lower class in God. All you have in God is God class. Look at somebody and say, hey, all we have in him is God class. See, that's why God is calling you up and not calling you down. He says, set your affections on things what? Above. Put your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of Father God. See, your affections, your passion should be on things above, not on things beneath. Why? Because God has so much things he's wanting to do for you, but you got to allow him to do it in your life by his favor. The more we learn about favor, or learn about him rather, the more we are exposed to his favor. Say that with me. Say, the more we learn about God, the more we are exposed to his favor. Now, what is his favor? Power, influence, and resources. Say that with me. What is his favor? Power. Say it again. That's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. And when that favor begin to work on your life, then power begin to work, influence begin to work, and guess what? Resources are released. Somebody say resources. Come on. Somebody say it again. Say resources. See, Ecclesiastes say money is the answer to all things. See, in this world, look at me, in this world, money carry influence. In this world. See, that's why we have to get resources so that we can defeat the world where they at. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me here. Why you think God intentionally will put you in the midst of things that are dark? Because there are some resources there that God wants you to get. Look at somebody and say, there's some resources in those dark places that God wants me to have. Yeah, you don't want God to carry you there, but God say there's some money there that belong to you. And if you get the money, then God say you'll have the influence. And if you have the influence, then my kingdom can be set up. See, it's time out for us as the people of God to be shunning resources. To be saying that we don't need resources. Ain't nobody all about that. All that money stuff. You need money to do everything you do. You needed money to get to this church. You needed money to wake up this morning. You needed money to live in your house. You needed money to pay that light bill or they'll cut it off. It's influence. See, the devil don't want you to have resources because he don't want you to have no influence in this world. But look at somebody say, in this season, he's a lie. and the truth is not in him. Tell him, say, I shall have power.